This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
I'm glad you didn't have that rap for Sala Fush, you wouldn't ever got past number one.
To the dark.
Let's hate, man.
All right, well, I'm back. We tied it up. USA! USA! 1-1. Brady Kachuk, a.k.a. Sloth. You got to turn your mic.
Yeah. Brady Kachuk, a.k.a. Sloth, with the goal.
The new Captain America.
By the way, might I say that the Canadian goaltender is worse? That was worse than the American goal.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The one that the...
Both goalies suck. How about that?
Ours is really good.
There was a nice save by the U.S. guy.
Yeah, he's had a couple really nice saves since giving up the MacKinnon goal. And yeah, I think if you're Bennington, that's another one you're like, God, you got to make that save.
Now, Buck just brought something to our attention that we have to bring to the program.
Yeah. He feels very passionate about it.
Yeah, he's dug in on this, and I think he's wrong. Well, he's not wrong. I just,
I would not be as outraged as Buck is.
Well, here's the thing. So we're going to talk about this new Gabby Petito doc.
Yeah.
Coming up here. It's on Netflix. But first, Buck said that he's on a group thread with his bros. Somebody's in New York or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my buddies in New York went to a bar, specifically a wing bar, to watch this game. And he said that a couple came in and they ordered wings and then proceeded to pull out their own latex gloves with which to eat the wings.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple next to him eating wings but with gloves on.
I mean, it's a power move.
Is it a power move? It seems like a weird move.
Look,
listen, I don't hate it. It's not the worst thing. Like, it's kind of, it's like, all right, I get that, because the wings are messy.
As I told you in the break, to me, it's like sitting in the front row at SeaWorld and expecting to not get wet.
Yeah,
you're eating wings, you're getting messy.
You're calling it insincere to the wing game, yeah. and I get that.
Because the wing game is the messiest. It's
yes.
The messiest food in the game.
If you don't want your hands to get like that, don't order wings.
And I don't know about you, but every time I eat wings, I don't care that it's messy. Like, it doesn't... Like, I know that.
Yeah.
And it is not a detractor for me.
No.
But for someone who it is a detractor for, hey, that's a great solution. Because Buckley then said, well, why don't you just knife and fork it? And I think the knife and fork is worse than the latex glove.
And that's the great question, because I don't. I think that you always tell Souk he can't sit on the fence. You have to pick a side. The gloves are sitting directly on the fence. either use your hands, get them dirty, or go fork and knife and stay clean. But this weird bring your own protection from wings is strange to me.
The fork and knife thing to me is ridiculous. I would judge you because you... The fork and knife doesn't really work on the wing. You can't pick that clean.
I agree it's not efficient, but if you want to stay clean, that's how you do it.
I'm with Rob. Given my choice, if you said, Suki, because I love my wings. Jerry's Tavern, best wings in Portland.
You going to bring gloves next time?
If you have to say...
He might.
If you're saying, I got to go knife and fork, or I got to go gloves, I have to make a choice. I'm not fence-sitting.
Easy.
I will take gloves every single time.
100%.
And I'll lean
because you're going to get more of the wing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're not going to get your hands messy.
Because let's be honest, like, wings are not a... Like, if you're trying to get laid, like, you're out there trying to impress someone, you're not eating wings. There is no way that you can look anything like a... Like, you're just going to be a fat slob eating wings. You cannot eat them and look civil. So, you do maybe elevate it. Maybe that guy's on a date. I don't know. Maybe he just...
Sounds like he is.
Yeah, he's on a date, or maybe he's trying to, I don't know, maybe he's trying to work some finger stuff later on, and he knows that he can't be dealing with barbecue sauce up in the nails.
God.
Come on!
I don't think it's a bad move.
Well, can I add one other thing? I think since COVID, people don't want to lick their fingers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a thing.
I don't like licking my fingers, period.
Well, yeah. Oh. I mean, I don't think you should like to lick your fingers. I think people think more about that now than they used to.
Yeah.
I hadn't given it any more or less thought since COVID, but I get that.
Yeah, and like the moment I'm done eating wings or ribs, my first trip is to the bathroom.
Yeah, wet nap.
And well, I go right to the bathroom and we do a whole scrub, and I got to wash the face because when you have this beard, it gets rough. Like there's a good chance that like a quarter of a chicken wing is somewhere in my beard at any given time. Like I got to go in and do a whole situation in there, so I can appreciate trying to keep it clean. But at the same time, I get it. It's disingenuous to the wing game, but...
Now, if you are on a date and you are trying to impress, do you think the woman finds that impressive? That you brought gloves?
Oh.
No, she would have to be of the same
age. Like, in cahoots with you. Like,
she's like, wow, that's brilliant.
They're messy, but we could bring gloves. And then the guy's like, sure. Maybe that's... If it was her suggestion and he's just trying to get laid, maybe that's what happened.
And by the way, as someone points out, this is where... And I do think it can be a bit shameful, again, but... This is where the boneless wing comes
This is
in.
The perfect situation for the boneless wing
this
or
the
tender.
Wing.
Dude, yeah. I have been advocating the boneless wing for years.
Yeah.
And I know, I think it was Cleland that always gave me so much crap for that. But, there is nothing. The boneless wing is a superior wing to me.
Wing enthusiasts are diehard about the bone-in wing, but I think there's nothing wrong with a boneless wing.
I couldn't agree more.
Like, if you go to a chicken place and you order chicken tendies as opposed to a two-piece, there's going to be people that judge you, but is that like? But you don't get it when you go to a steakhouse. Now, the bone-in ribeye is the best steak you can have. It's more flavorful. It's better, but no one judges you for you getting a New York that doesn't have the bone-in.
Agreed.
But with the chicken, and that does get all...
Yeah,
it gets very political.
It's a dumb hill to die on, in my opinion. Because there's really no, like... There's really no, like you said, the bone-in ribeye, that is supposed to be like the juiciest, best. It helps to keep the bone with the steak.
That
is an argument.
Yes.
Whereas it doesn't with chicken wings. Does it?
Well, I do think that when you're having it on the bone, because the boneless wing is breast meat. It's all white. Whereas the chicken wing isn't necessarily, depending on what, that's not going to be all breast meat. So I do think that the bone does add a flavor to it that I think some people are I think is better. I mean, you can taste the difference between the two. But, do you really, I'm wearing a white shirt right now. I could not in good conscience order wings while wearing a white shirt. I guarantee that is a disaster waiting to happen.
But gloves would make no difference in that.
No, but then for the rest of the night, I'm going to look like a fat piece of crap because I got a bunch of barbecue stains on my shirt.
Yeah, that's my point is if you don't want to get messy, that's not the thing to order or the place to go.
A lot of people texting in that boneless wings are not wings. They need a separate name.
They're really nuggies, but I think people don't want to have the shame of ordering nuggies because then you look like a kid.
Chicken tenders, chicken strips.
Kid food.
But if I go to like a Dave's Nashville like hot chicken, those are chicken tendies and no one cares and they're delightful. It's like when you order ketchup on a hot dog and people get all pissy at you.
I put ketchup on hot dog.
I know, but like, you go to the Midwest, go to Chicago sometime and put ketchup on a hot dog and watch people lose
their heads. Dude, I read about this recently. There's like a National Hot Dog Association that says once you turn 18, you should no longer put ketchup on your dog. There's like an official delineation that ketchup is for kids on hot dogs. Like, by the hot dog people. Yeah.
I never grew out of it.
I was at Portello's once in Chicago, which is like the quintessential
Chicago.
Did
they throw you out?
And it wasn't me, because I was getting the, I got the
Chicago dog?
No, I got the sandwich.
Sure.
They do the dip
sandwiches. The dip beef, yeah.
They do the original hot beef, and you can get like a spicy link, and then they put the beef on top. It's delightful. But I saw a guy that got their Chicago dog, and he put ketchup on it, and I'm not kidding. The employees and people in line, because it's one of those, like, they've got a circular door, and it's a line. I mean, it's just, during lunch, it's a freaking scene. I thought they were going to throw his ass out. Like, dude, they shamed that guy and booed his ass. For, like, you would think he was Canadian, or I guess he was an American in Canada at that point. I mean, it was ugly. And I was like, oh, my God. Just let the man put ketchup on the hot dog. Like, what do you care? But I'm telling you, the people of Chicago care. You can't do it.
Yeah, I got to say, I am a little ashamed that I still put ketchup on a hot dog. Now, I never eat a hot dog.
Yeah.
But if I did, and it had everything there, you know, like like at the turn stand or whatever.
Yeah.
I would go ketchup, mustard, maybe a little bit of cheese, but onions, even relish. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I do this at Costco regularly with the kids. Ketchup, mustard, relish, onion. Yeah.
That's what you do?
Yeah.
Do you go cheese? Do you go jalapenos?
Well, then,
do you...
I tend to not. I mean, I like those things on there, but usually where hot dogs are being served, you can only count on the ketchup, mustard, and relish being there. Yeah. Sometimes the onions and sauerkraut. But, like, yeah, all three of them are great together.
See, and this came to a thing with my family, not my kids and stuff, but my extended family. I've told you, my brother and my dad and my sister, they eat like four-year-olds. So, like, they get steak well done. They will order a Philly cheesesteak with no onions and peppers. They will get a cheeseburger plain every time with just ketchup. And this is just how they eat. There will be no... they just eat like children. And I think for a lot of people, it is embarrassing to order like that, or it's embarrassing to be seen with people like that. Can you imagine going to Ringside or Laurelhurst or whatever and ordering your steak well done?
And it makes me sad.
But at the same time, if that's the way you like it, you know.
Well, I agree with this guy. He said food shaming is stupid. Eat whatever you want. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I do. But extreme examples.
But you're wrong.
Yeah, well, they are wrong. But I'm not going to shame you for it.
It's
I'm
a libertarian type thing. Whatever works for you, man.
That's right. I'm just going to silently judge you.
Yeah. I just think it's weird when you see adults... And I don't even mind, like, necessarily the ketchup thing, but it's weird when adults have such a muted palate.
Well, especially when you go to a place that has a robust or really, like, cool inventive menu, and there's, like, a bunch of things you could do, and you're like, I'll have the cheeseburger with fries.
It tells me that you don't like to try new things.
Yes.
I mean...
Well, the biggest one is, like, if you go to a Mexican restaurant or a Chinese place or whatever, like a Szechuan place, and you order the cheeseburger off the back, that... I am judging you. What are you doing? Why are you there? Or the ugly American travel is awful. If you're in a foreign country and the American is upset because they don't have chicken wings or that's the sort of stuff where I'm like, oh my, you went halfway around the world and you're going to try to go to you want an Applebee's. Like, you shouldn't go to Tokyo and eat at the Sizzler.
What?
Unless you're in Mexico City and you're drunk and it's 1:30, then it's perfectly okay.
Oh, look at the pot calling the kettle black.
I didn't even have to say it.
Then it's perfectly okay to go.
He shamed himself.
Yes, he did.
I will not apologize for that drunken run to Chili's. I won't. It's Mexican food. We were in Mexico. Hello.
But if other people are traveling internationally, they're not allowed to.
Again, you don't have to apologize. No shaming here, just silent judging. Hey, all right.
I would like to point out that Chili's was jumping. That was the place to be.
The latest Netflix doc. We talk about it next on The Fan. All right. Well, it's always fun to check Netflix or, you know, Max or Hulu and see what's new and trending.
A lot of times, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I thought I heard something about that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not really, there's, like, kind of a buzz or someone has told you about something and you're like, oh, yeah.
That's how I watch shows now. I think that's the best way to find a good show is just wait and see if people are talking about it.
Yeah. And if there's a buzz, then you give it a whirl. And, you know, worst comes to worst. Like, I've done it before where I'll watch an episode, though, and I'm like, I don't get what people are talking about. And then
I hear you.
I move on. In fact, this Gabby documentary, I didn't make it all the way through.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh, that was boring.
I don't know that a lot of people are talking about this, but
I had someone text me about it.
It's kind of interesting. It's about the Gabby Petito murder. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. It's a three-parter. Easy watch. It's like 45 minutes for each part. Yeah. And it's, if you don't remember that one, that's the one where she's a cute little American girl who was road tripping with her boyfriend in Utah. And she went missing.
They got pulled over by the cops.
And he ends up killing her and ends up in Florida. And then that's when he killed himself in the Everglades out there. That's that one. And, you know, the documentary is like, I don't know. It pieces together the timeline, which on the news we didn't really get a full view of. So that's kind of interesting. It's also a very unremarkable story, and I hate to say that. We have two dead people here.
Sure.
And
well, one of them is the only one.
The girl certainly shouldn't have been killed. But it's just a classic case of, like, you watch it. I turned on the documentary thinking, oh, there, I want to find out what was really behind all of this.
No.
And there's really nothing. No. It's just, it's the classic case of the jealous psycho boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I think what's kind of interesting about this one is that he didn't really ever appear that way. I mean, sometimes you watch these Datelines or these documentaries and you go, my God, the warning signs are everywhere. With him, it was a little more subtle. And there's some text messages that they reveal between the two of them that kind of leads you. It's like, oh, he's kind of off his rocker. But he didn't appear so outwardly. Seemed like a pretty pleasant fellow, really. But he killed her.
Yeah, the only one that I took from it, and again, I didn't make it all the way through. I was kind of skipping around trying to get to the end because I was like, this is kind of boring. The parents were full of crap. They knew what was up.
Of course they did.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, come on. And that was the other thing is, like, if you were watching on the news when it happened, you were wondering, what was the deal with the parents?
Yeah.
Well, the deal with the parents was Brian Laundrie killed her, freaked out about it, called his mom, who, by the way, is more of a psycho than he was.
100%.
And spoke to her for almost an hour, and instantly they called their attorney.
Yes.
So, of course they knew about it, but they just... And I don't know if you know this, but I was reading up. Of course, this is one of those that you go down a rabbit hole of what was portrayed and what else didn't they portray, you know, online after watching it. And what I found out was, you know, the Petito family, Gabby's family, sued the Laundrie family, and they won a settlement for $3 million.
Okay.
So they sued them civilly in two different instances, a wrongful death and then a civil suit, and they both settled. And then they also sued, the Petitos also sued the Utah Police Department.
The people, because that was the one where the police, there was a domestic dispute, the police pulled them over, and they decided to let them go about their way.
Well, they separated them for a night.
Yes.
And they put Brian Laundrie into the battered shelter.
Yeah.
And they basically painted her as the aggressor, which, I mean, okay, she did scratch his face, but the call to pull them over was some witness said, I just watched a guy slap a girl and then hop into the van.
Slapping the hell out of her, I think, is what he told the 911 dispatcher.
They're ridiculous.
And then they pulled him over with the reports of a girl being beaten by a man, or a woman being beaten by a man on the side of the road. And they're like, kind of getting chummy with the guy, and she's clearly in distress saying, can I have my phone? Can I call my mom? And they're like, well, yeah, it's obvious she was the aggressor here. And I'm like, really? That's obvious to you guys?
It was interesting that he ended up in the...
I mean, to their credit, they did separate him for the night, which I thought they...
They did.
But then, they got back together the next day. I thought what made it unique, though, is that because she was doing like a travel blog thing, there was a ton of footage of her and them very close to when it all happened. And you could kind of see the interactions of, I guess, what life was like between them. That, to me, is what makes it stand out from other docs, where they had all this self-taken footage.
Well, yeah, no, that's true.
And that just goes, and maybe this is why I'm trying to be sensitive, because like you said, there's two dead people. I am... I'm over us. How do I want to say this? We are willing to put our worst moments and put ourselves in the worst possible situations for the sake of, look at me. Like, this was a girl that was being abused. This is a girl that was scared. And yet she continually put out her travel blog. Instead of having any sort of sense of I don't know, self-preservation, it was like, no, I'm going to keep putting on this weird facade for my travel blog.
Well, you didn't get all the way through it.
I did
not. So can I, there's a couple things.
Go for it.
One, she only posted one time. This was a new thing.
Yeah.
And she did have a lot of footage that she was working on, but she really only had one
post. So that did not go, because I saw that they were taking a lot of the footage, but that did not.
No, she was editing it, but she had only done one post. As a matter of fact, they say at the very end of the documentary that that's now got like 7 million views or something. That one post, she's dancing on the beach. Yeah. But the other thing is, she did leave him.
Did she?
And that's why he killed her, is that she took the van. She texted her mom and said, I'm better off on my own. No. He gave me the van. She left. He hunted her down on foot, by the way, hitchhiked, and strangled her and killed her and then left.
Okay, well then, I kind of...
So she was...
Okay.
But, you know, it's that whole victim thing. You know, we don't need to get into the whole thing, but it's the whole, like, she was scared. A lot of women don't leave the situation because they're too scared.
Yeah.
She did.
Okay.
And
well,
I
stand down.
I don't know that she ever really... It's kind of hard to tell if she ever really feared for her life. She just was tired of his bullshit and left. So I don't know that she maybe thought that he was capable of that, but...
I'm just weirded out that we seemingly now everything, like the worst parts of humanity, it's now all filmed. And I don't know, I struggle with it when I'm watching that because, again, you know how it ends. And when you're watching the footage that they're filming, it felt like wrong to me that I'm watching...
Well, he certainly didn't like it.
Exactly, right?
It's, you could tell he was uncomfortable with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It's like you're... am I making any sort of sense here that, like, it's...
Well, I don't know.
You're, like, watching torture porn. Like, I'm watching something... I'm watching someone film their own death. And I'm... And for public consumption, and I just... I don't know. Like, it's like when there's a school shooting or when there's a mass shooting, and instead of running and hiding, people are taking out their phones because they got to film it. I got to see the person get shot. I need to see the aftermath of the bodies. And I don't know. I struggle with that. I struggle with that's kind of where we've gone. And so I think when we were watching this, I think that was one of the things that just, I couldn't bring myself to, bring myself to watch it.
I don't view it that way only because I just feel like, obviously, nobody knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
So it was really, while we're watching, is their life and their relationship, and it sheds light into how they interacted with one another. There were a bunch of text messages and everything. It's, you know, like I said, the story is a little unremarkable. What I think ultimately comes of it, which is interesting, is it did... Oh, I was going to tell you. They sued the Utah Police Department for $50 million, but it got tossed because you can't sue government agencies in Utah.
Yeah.
But the Petitos are not backing down. They're like the Goldmans.
They're going at it.
They are going after that law. They are trying to get that law reversed and then go back and sue the Utah Police Department. So they're not messing around.
Yeah.
But in the end, it says that what did come of it was in Utah, there is now a mandatory 12... They pushed through a bill that made it so that police have to ask 12 mandatory questions when they get in a situation like Gabby and Brian's.
Yeah.
When they pull them over.
Trying to have a better judge of is someone really in danger.
Do you want those 12 questions? Because I have those 12
questions. Yeah, I'm interested
in that. Because they never asked. You know, the one thing about that, my wife and I are watching it together, and I said it blows me away that they never once asked, or at least it wasn't on the film that they showed, they never once asked if she was scared of him.
Hmm.
Not one time did they ask her,
are you okay? Or
well, they asked her, they just didn't ask her anything about, hey, are you scared of him?
She had all these distress signs and they didn't just say outwardly,
no.
Is he hurting you? Is something wrong happening here? Like, do you need
help?
They
never gave her the chance to just spill the beans.
Yeah.
And tell the truth.
Yeah, I would like to know the 12 questions.
So the 12 questions are, did the aggressor ever use a weapon against you or threaten you with a weapon?
Okay.
Did the aggressor ever threaten to kill you or your child? Do you believe the aggressor will try to kill you? That would have been an interesting question to ask her.
Yeah.
But again, they're treating her as the aggressor, not him. Has the aggressor ever choked you or attempted to choke you? Does the aggressor have a gun or could the aggressor easily obtain a gun? Is the aggressor violently or constantly jealous? Or does the aggressor control most of your daily activities? That would have also been an interesting one for her.
Yeah.
Did you leave or separate from the aggressor after you were living together or married? Is the aggressor unemployed? To the best of your knowledge, has the aggressor ever attempted suicide? Do you have a child whom the aggressor believes is not the aggressor's biological child? Has the aggressor ever followed, spied on, or left threatening messages for you? Is there anything else that worries you about your safety? And if so, what worries you?
So those all have to be asked now. Mandatory. Any sort of domestic violence.
That's correct. Okay. And if they ask those 12 of Gabby Petito...
Yeah, you wonder if...
Is she alive?
Yeah.
You wonder because if
you maybe get different answers and different...
Yeah, you never know, right? I mean, obviously, she went back. And this is the problem, again, with relationships is, you know, as someone said, a lot of the women have been conditioned to just go along with it and to, you know, play the, you know, the everything's going to be fine card and doesn't want to ruin someone's life. So who knows? I mean, people stay in abusive relationships all the time, but... that is a real good question. Had those all been asked, would she have given different answers?
I wonder how those Utah cops feel.
I don't know. Is it one of those cases where he still would have hunted her down either way? You know, would that have stopped him? Because it sounds like you said, like, he hunted her down on foot.
Right, if he's crazy enough to do that after, you know, they've raised red flags with law enforcement and stuff like that, would he have just been hell-bent about this anyway?
One real quick thing, and I don't know if you got far enough to get to this part. When the cop from Florida initially goes to Laundrie's house and interviews the parents, and the parents are like, "We're not talking to you. Call our attorney."
Yeah.
The parents said that Brian Laundrie was in the house, and they never did. They never went in, or they never tried to get him out of there or talk to him.
I mean, and don't you have probable cause to, like, okay, well, then we need to get in there?
Well, that's
and
what
do
the New
that.
York people were saying.
Yeah.
Or was it New York, or where was she from?
She was New York.
Yeah,
right?
Long Island,
I think. So yeah. I think they were talking to some people from the cops from New York, were communicating with the cops from Florida, and the cops from Florida's like, well, what do you want me to do? The parents aren't talking.
Well, the suspect's in there.
He's
that's
in
probable
there.
Cause.
Exactly. I don't really get why
I don't know what all the rules are. But yeah, I do remember that.
I don't get why they handled it that way. And then Brian Laundrie goes missing. Now he eventually took his own life.
Yeah.
But he went missing when they knew right where he was. They let him straight out of their fingertips.
He went to his parents' house between killing her and killing himself.
Again, yes. It might have been problematic in that he wasn't charged with anything. He was merely a person of interest, and I don't think you have to talk to anybody.
You don't, but they didn't even try to talk to Brian Laundrie, or they were surveilling the house.
Yeah. I think maybe one of those things
and he
that
still
once you say, hey, go to hell and, you know, talk to my attorney, maybe there's, you know, unless you're charging with someone with something, maybe it's just your kind of hands are tied. Because I do remember at that point, like, everything was still up in the air. I mean, obviously there was a lot of speculation, but there was no proof. There was nothing. It's just, it's merely it was a person of interest. And you don't have to talk to the cops.
All right, well, it's
but it is weird that he was able to slip out of there.
It's called... An American Murder, Gabby Petito. It's on Netflix. 3 Eppies.
It's Netflix, right?
Did I say Netflix? What did I say? I just said Netflix.
Did
I not?
Oh, I thought you said something else.
I thought I said Netflix. Hmm. 3 Eppies. You know, worth a watch. It's good. It's just, and I'm not trying to, somebody said I'm trying to blow it off as uninteresting. It's just not, I said unremarkable because it's just a classic
story
that we've heard.
Yeah,
there's nothing like if you're tuning in looking for some nuggets that you're like, whoa, that what I didn't know that or that.
It's not something new that the news story didn't have before.
You're not going to get any of it.
Yeah.
It's just sad.
It's sad, and maybe that's ultimately too. Is I have daughters, and maybe that's what sunk it for me. Is I struggle with the. It's every dad's greatest fear, right? Is that. Some worthless piece of crap becomes obsessed with one of your daughters. Maybe that was what I just had a hard time wrapping my head around it, but I just couldn't get into it.
We have isolated indigenous bro emerging from the Amazon rainforest.
See, now that intrigues me.
What happened?
that blows my mind.
Next, here's Buck. Well, you know, we are pro hidden indigenous tribes here on the show.
It blows me away. It's one of the more fascinating things I think that happens in our world, that in a society where we have, you know, we can go to the moon, we have Starlink now, everyone has a cell phone, that there are people living in jungles that aren't aware of anything, that are living as if it was thousands of years ago.
Well, so this story caught my eye. This is a young man. Looks to be maybe 15, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What do I look up here?
He is from an isolated indigenous tribe, and I don't know, Bella Rosa indigenous bro. I don't know. You'll find it. And he apparently he wandered out of his village and into a community in Brazil's Amazon.
He just came cruising out, huh?
Yeah, he just came cruising out.
Oh.
And he's just got a little loincloth over his wiener.
I'm fascinated that, like, even when they still have the modesty to cover up the junk.
I know.
You would think, I mean, you're living out in the jungle, you know, and,
yeah,
you know, everything's hanging out.
Let it rip.
Yeah, they're always wearing the little loincloth.
Are they just protecting the pork sword?
It's possible. You know, well, maybe stuff, you know, you don't want to.
They're not stupid.
You don't want to get it caught on a root or something.
So,
And also, who's in charge of your penis?
That was a drop. The encounter occurred around 7 p.m. local time Wednesday in Bella Rosa, a community along the Purus River in the southwestern Amazon. Footage obtained by the AP shows him barefoot, wearing a small loincloth, seemingly calm and in good health as he carries two logs. Locals believe he was asking for fire.
Oh.
There is smartphone video of the encounter, which is showing one resident trying unsuccessfully to show him how to use a lighter.
Oh, yeah, I see it right here.
And he was like, what is this? Officials from Brazil's Indigenous Affairs Agency arrived soon after, and they took him to a nearby facility. He was later returned to his tribe less than 24 hours later.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I mean, you imagine coming back with like a Bic lighter? You're probably king of your tribe.
So the reason
he just wandered back. Huh?
The reason they take him out and throw him in their facilities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. Like, they don't get jailed or anything, but...
Yeah, it's like an ICE sort of detention thing. Like, I get in there.
Can I see your passport?
What accent was that?
Yeah, that was the Peruvian accent over there.
I thought maybe for...
You why are you going Amazon. There?
John Travolta meets Bernie Sanders. But all right.
Well, anyway, they want to test them for... see if they've been exposed to any diseases for which the local tribes have no immunity.
Oh, yeah.
So if they come out of there...
Yeah, you gotta...
They... Like, if you get exposed to, oh, I don't know, Ebola, and you take it back to the tribe, the whole tribe's dead.
Well, I mean, you could get something as simple as a flu.
Correct.
And you could bring it back and everyone is eradicated.
Yeah, couldn't you kill one of them with a common cold?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So they.
I mean, that's how most of the new world over here was conquered, was simply with disease. I mean, yeah, obviously wars and guns and whatever, but disease killed more native people than anything else.
They also said that surveillance has been established to prevent people from reaching their location.
Yeah, because they don't want
now people, that he's come
yeah,
out.
Yeah, they don't
people
want,
are like, oh,
they don't want people.
The looky-loos go in there.
Sure. Or some dumbass that's trying to teach him about Jesus.
Yeah, then get beheaded.
Yeah, can't have that. Or you're trying to teach him about Jesus, and in turn you teach him about influenza, and you kill an entire group of people.
But I find it fascinating that he comes out of there, and he's not really shocked by anything that he's seeing. He's like, he's meeting with these people. He's like, so they obviously know that other people are around.
Exist, yeah.
And the lighter threw him off.
Yeah.
But I can see why.
Sure. I mean, I'm guessing when you're in that sort of situation, fire is probably a big deal, and it's probably a pain in the ass. And, you know, Bear Grylls talks about this all the time. Dude, making fire's hard. So I'm sure that dude is like, you know what? You guys seem to have a lot of fire. Making fire here sucks. You show me how to do it. Imagine you having to build fire the old way, and then you realize that all you have to do is click a button, and you're like, what in
what
the
is this?
Hell?
What is this life hack?
Where has this been my entire life? Jeebus.
So do you think that, you know, if we put Bear Grylls up against Indigenous Bro, like isolated Indigenous Bro in a fire building contest?
Yeah. I think Indigenous...
Hey, who wins?
I think Indigenous Bro wins that.
What if Indigenous Bro loses to Bear Grylls?
Like, we have this idea in our head that all the indigenous tribes, they're masters of survival, right? And they know, like, plant medicine and they know how to... What if they're all just a bunch of boobs that can't...
Yeah, you know, that's why they're out there.
Yeah, they're terrible. They don't know how to make fire. Like, they just suck at it, but there's no other way, so they're just bumbling their way through.
They're all goofy.
Well, it'd be like if you took someone from that tribe and you brought them to civilization, and they came across some rube, you know, some hillbilly, you know, dumbass, they'd probably think that guy is a genius, right? They're like, oh my God, this guy is the smartest man we've ever met. In reality, the dude's a moron. It's just they don't know any better. So we just have this, what if our illusion of these tribesmen is because, we all think that they're Bear Grylls times 1,000. What if that's just not true? Bear Grylls shows them up left and right.
They're just back there getting drunk and looking at hustlers.
I would assume that that would be the most mind-blowing thing. You're like, hey, by the way,
check this out.
Take a look at this.
What's more stunning, the lighter or catching some pornog?
It's got to be the porn, right?
Well, weren't you the one telling the story of the there's a video of one of these guys
mirror.
Being shown a mirror,
and it's
and he just can't.
He can't.
He's yeah. like, what?
Yeah. There's two or can't three. There's two or three of them, and one of the you know David Attenborough type guys just has a little handheld mirror, and they cannot process it. It is
so. Imagine porn.
Exactly.
I mean, the lighter he could probably get his head around.
He
it's
knows
like,
fire.
Oh, it starts fire. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Nice little innovation here.
Was the boy to have more questions about the device and yeah. video streaming yeah. and
here's
things
a
like
copy
that?
Of Blacktail.
Wait, I just push a button.
Here's a copy of Blacktail magazine. Why don't you go take a look at that? And see, see what you think.
All right, we'll wrap it up next on the Fan. All right. Well, Andrew Nemec's coming up next. I see him in there, which means he's probably here to do a show.
You are correct.
That's right.
And more importantly, the U.S. now, 2-1.
USA! USA! Well, we were just checking on the live odds to take Canada. Plus 230. Not that we're going to do that.
No.
But
no, I told you I'm not going to bet on this, but...
That 3-1 potential overtime bet looking tasty.
Oh, there you go.
And you got your under looking pretty good. 2-1.
We'll see. I mean,
what's the over under 5.5?
5.5. So we can take on two more goals, but...
And more importantly, no fight.
Yeah, that too.
Told you, we weren't going to get a fight. It's going to settle into just a good physical
wait,
hockey
wait, there's still half a game left.
There won't be a fight. If they were going to fight, they would have done it early.
The only thing I could see is if, like,
if it's
one of the team gets two or three up, and then the other team's pissed off.
Sucker.
But that doesn't seem like it's going that way.
You got to be careful, because if you take an instant, because nothing's scheduled at this point, and the problem is that if you start a fight and you get hit with an instigator penalty, no one's going to risk
it. By the way, can we talk about Buck's hot hockey take? That he believes it's ridiculous that they're still jumping over boards.
Yeah, Buck, I got to admit, that is the strangest. And believe me, as a hockey fan, I get all kinds of weird questions. I explained icing to someone today.
Yeah.
That is the weirdest take. Buck goes, yeah, with all the technology, why do we still have people jumping over the boards? And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, shouldn't there be a door? And I said, there's two of them
right,
on
but
every bench.
Yeah,
but they don't use them.
Well, and, yeah, some of them, it's not that, like, it's a hot take that, like, I think that it, to me,
Bat
we do
track.
Things in certain sports, and I said this earlier, like, the chains in football, there has to be a more efficient way for us to do that.
What would be the more efficient
way? You ever seen a pocket door in a bathroom? Like, pocket door, six of them. Anybody, like, you can do it, you can do all of them. It, have slots all along the bench where, like, people could go on and off so easily.
What the... There's nothing.
I'm okay with that.
The whole climbing over.
Do you realize that the easiest way to get on and off the ice is over the boards?
Not if you had an open door.
Well, you can't. The bench is so long, Buck, that if you're in the middle of the bench,
yeah.
you can't get to the end.
Which
where,
is why
well,
you put a door there.
Saying,
that's what I'm saying.
You can't have four doors open at once because
why not?
Yeah, why not?
Because the when the door opens to let people on the ice, if the puck is over there, you can't just have an empty hole where the puck can go in.
I'm saying like a sliding elevator door that like
I love
it's only open when a player's going in and out.
I love you.
I love
but
it.
That is the of all the well, it's not as bad as like the get a giant sumo goalie, but that is a very strange.
I'm with him.
Bizarre hockey.
You
take.
Sold me. I'm with you, Buck.
I just think there we could do it better and we haven't thought to.
Like in Severance.
Sure.
Yeah. Like six of them.
As opposed to stepping.
Well, they have the two doors,
yeah,
like you said. You can just add a couple that slide in and out.
They have skates on their feet.
Yeah.
You could slice someone's throat. It's terribly unsafe.
I mean, they all climb over the boards with much aplomb. They've been doing it their whole lives.
Yeah,
but like,
there are two. On every hockey bench, there is two doors, one on each end. And if you're not on one of the ends,
you
go over the board.
And I get why we've been doing that forever, but it also feels like, you know, we don't have to do it that way.
On my bench, see, this is one of those where we do only do this idea on our home bench, and then the other bench we make the what do you call it the what are they stepping over
the board?
Yeah, we make it super tall so they can't get over it. They can't get into the game.
Next, we'll be taking the headphones and communications away from away teams in football.
That's right.
Oh,
their door doesn't work.
I love random hockey takes.
I just watch dudes climbing over, and I'm like, randomly, I'm like, I mean, this. I haven't had this thought for a long time. This just came about today. I'm like, why do we still do that?
Well, hockey is the one sport that, well, soccer is this way too. It's just, it's always interesting having to explain, like if you're watching a hockey game with people that have no idea what's going on. And that happens a lot when I go to hockey games, to have to explain the logistics of it. It's like, why do you do that? It's just the way it is.
Basically, hockey's stupid until you put an American flag out there, and now we're fired up. Well, so it's now 2-2.
2-2.
And are they going to the third yet?
There's about 6 minutes left in the second.
So it's going to be good.
Should be.
Good finish. And Bucks under is not looking so good now.
Nope. Overtime looking okay, though.
You need a 3-2 win. You just need... Yeah. You need
3-2 OT win.
3-2 OT would be perfect.
Yes.
For that $3 you're going to net.
Hell yeah.
Slay.
It's probably more than $3.
All right. Angenamics coming up next. Hey, our show. Get this. We have a hot announcement. Our show
hitting
is
the road.
On location tomorrow.
How about that? Last minute, we pulled it together.
Yep, we will be broadcasting from Casa Diablo.
How about that? Or the Portland Convention Center.
Oh, no, the Oregon International Auto Show.
There you go.
We will be out there tomorrow, so if you're out there looking at cars, come by and look at Souk.
The after party is at the Diablo.
For some of us.
All of us. Maybe.
So we'll be back tomorrow from the Convention Center. 3-7 on the Fan. Good night.